Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It is Tuesday, November 18th, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here are tonight's top stories.
Tonight, with Ferguson on edge awaiting a grand jury verdict, a cop tells residents, get a gun, we can't protect you. And insurance companies, supposed opponents of government regulation, come out of the closet as the ones who want and benefit the most from Obamacare. All that and more on tonight's InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, the world is watching and waiting for the grand jury decision to be handed down and whether or not Darren Wilson will be charged in the killing of Michael Brown. But the FBI is already warning that it's highly likely that the result is going to lead to extremist violence. Now, in a bulletin, the FBI warned that armed extremist protesters may use these protests as an excuse to attack law enforcement, while hacktivist groups like Anonymous could use it as an excuse to launch cyber attacks on authorities. Now, much like Anonymous has already hacked into the main Twitter account of the KKK. Now, the agency warned that the extremists could be carrying bladed weapons or firearms, be equipped with tactical gear, gas masks, or bulletproof vests. The bulletin also says that there have already been threats against law enforcement, including a message last week by a black separatist group offering a $5,000 bounty for Wilson's location. So there's all sorts of racial tension going on there in Ferguson. Ja'Kari Jackson reported today that some of the supporters of Darren Wilson are going to be paying for a billboard that says pants up, don't loot. So there is just all sorts of racial tensions flaring there in Ferguson, getting people away from what the issue is, which is standing up to police abuse and, you know, making sure that people who are unarmed are not shot and killed. The police in this country should not be the judge, jury, and executioner. Now, in addition to all of this, we're reporting some alarming online chatter between Ferguson's cops and their supporters. This is ahead of the grand jury verdict. Users of a police forum are claiming that police will be powerless to protect the public. And one cop is even saying, if you do not have a gun, get one and get one soon. Now, the Missouri's governor has reactivated the National Guard. He's declared a state of emergency in an effort to avoid more unrest. But when he was prompted by reporters, Nixon was unable to say where the buck stopped. He didn't really say who is going to be in charge of handling the protests, controlling the protests. Now, peaceful demonstrations are, of course, being held all over St. Louis at the time. And some local leaders there are expressing frustration over Nixon's state of emergency declaration. St. Louis Alderman Antonio French said on Twitter that the National Guard is called in when policing has failed, and that military presence in my city will mark a historic failure on the part of government. This is not a war. There is no military solution. So this is what's really upsetting to me, because we have a lot of people who really are peacefully protesting there. And now we've got a lot of racial violence. Racial tension is getting incited to prompt these calls for violence and things like that. They're preparing for war. So this is absolutely insane. We do have Ja'Kari Jackson there and Joe Biggs reporting live. They'll be Ustreaming. They'll be on the scene with any updates when this decision is handed down. Now, there are also rumors swirling of executive amnesty. It's going to be happening any day now, probably sometime this month. And with this, Texas ranchers are reporting a surge in illegal immigration there along the border. Rancher and Texas Border Volunteers co-founder Dr. Mike Vickers says that he's noticed more trash along footpaths and has even run across people seeking help. Vickers told a news station, he said, we had two groups Sunday. Seven of them gave up to me. They were from Honduras and El Salvador. And Vickers says he's also witnessed an uptick in empty water bottles along paths around his and other properties. And he says it's a sign that smuggling routes are being increasingly traversed. Now, the spike was also predicted last month when Department of Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson hinted that the influx could grow again this winter. So, of course, anytime Obama opens his mouth and says that he's going to be granting amnesty, we're going to be seeing a spike in people coming across the border. Now, Judge Andrew Napolitano said that Obama's executive amnesty would be playing with constitutional fire, basically saying it's illegal. Napolitano said that when he suspends deportations and when he imposes his own conditions on those suspensions, he is effectively rewriting the law. That violates his oath to enforce and uphold the law as it's been written. Now, when he says, I will not enforce the law because I don't like it or I'm impatient, that doesn't wash under the Constitution, adding that the president has prosecutorial discretion. He cannot rewrite the law on a whim, which is, of course, what Obama has done over and over again with his pen and his phone. Just rewrites the law however he sees it. But Napolitano, Judge Napolitano, is saying that he can suspend some prosecutions because he maybe wants to reallocate resources, but he cannot suspend a statute. Now, he goes on to say Obama's executive amnesty isn't only unconstitutional, but it is costly. And from day one, it's going to open up federal and state benefits to individuals who are still illegal aliens, regardless of the label the president puts on them. So, of course, you know, I do care. I am a humanitarian. I care about people. But how are we going to pay for this? It is unsustainable. This will be thrusting America into a welfare state. Of course, that's the plan. In reality, no Republicans are going to impeach Obama for his power grab because they want that power. They want that power of the dictatorship when they think they are going to be the president. So now we've been saying this from the very beginning. Obamacare is just the beginning of economic fascism. It's the largest transfer of wealth and power to the insurance companies, who, of course, are just part and parcel to the banks. Now, last year, insurance companies were kind of putting it out that they were really against Obamacare, saying they're against the Affordable Care Act. It would harm business. The government is just too big and it would muck it up. Meanwhile, they're writing the rules with Gruber, first via RomneyCare and then, of course, finalized as Obamacare. Now, the New York Times reports that the healthcare law recasts insurers as Obama allies. Now, President Obama is depending more than ever on the insurance companies that 5 years ago he accused of padding profits and canceling coverage for the sick. Those insurers have long viewed the government as an unreliable business partner that imposes fees and regulations and taxes. Well, now, with the passage of the Affordable Care Act, the relationship between the Obama administration and insurers has evolved into a powerful, mutually beneficial partnership that has been a boon to the nation's largest private health plans and led to a profitable surge in their Medicaid enrollment. Of course, tens of billions of dollars flow from the federal treasury to insurers' hands each year. So, of course, they're loving this. This is great for them. And we're going to see record Medicaid enrollment when we have this executive amnesty being passed. So they're loving this. Now, insurers are saying that they're going to fight against any Republican efforts to dismantle the law. So it's a total change of the tune from last year. But of course, the only Republicans that are going to actually be trying to dismantle this law are the Republicans that haven't gotten the secret handshake and the wink there from their skull and bones crew. Now, you want to remember how President Obama and the Democrats portrayed the Affordable Care Act as a broadside to the insurers and to special interests. Nancy Pelosi actually called the insurers villains. So, of course, this was the way that they felt that they could sell this law to the too stupid Americans. But if you need any further proof, just look at how much money these insurers are making. These villainous insurers are profiting billions every year off of Obamacare. All this law has done has just helped to secure them from any competition. That is economic fascism. Now, as far as distancing themselves from Jonathan Gruber, ex-Obama aide Stephen Ratner demolished the claim that his role was limited. He said the MIT professor was the guru of healthcare. Now, Gruber visited Obama's office as the Democratic Party's most influential healthcare expert. And it was he who sold this idea of the individual mandate, which he helped to develop. Now, the individual mandate, of course, is what forces people to buy insurance or face a penalty. Now, everyone is going to be feeling the effects of this individual mandate come tax season, as it is 1% of your income for anyone who's making more than $9,500 a year. Now, when Gruber's disdain for the American public was caught on video, Obama says that he was just some advisor, and Nancy Pelosi said she denied even knowing him at all, even though she made reference to him repeatedly while she was campaigning for Obama in 2009. You know, she says, oh, I didn't even know him. But this is the power of the internet. Your lies catch up with you. And of course, that's why Congress is repeatedly trying to work on ways to curb the power of the internet. He's really suffering having the Obama of then versus Barack Obama now on the internet. Take a look at this montage, the best of mashup.
People ranging from Robert Gordon to Austin Goolsbee, John Gruber.
I just heard about this. I get well briefed before I come out here. The fact that some advisor who never worked on our staff expressed an opinion that I completely disagree with in terms of the voters is no reflection on the actual process that was run.
I take the Constitution very seriously. The biggest problems that we're facing right now have to do with George Bush trying to bring more and more power into the executive branch and not go through Congress at all. And that's what I intend to reverse when I'm president of the United States of America.
Today, I'm beginning a new effort to fix as much of our immigration system as I can on my own, without Congress.
And I'm convinced that if we're willing to summon those values today, and if we're willing to choose hope over fear, we gather because we have chosen hope over fear. If we do not move swiftly to sign the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act into law, an economy that is already in crisis will be faced with catastrophe. Millions more Americans will lose their jobs. Homes will be lost. Families will go without health care. Our crippling dependence on foreign oil will continue. That is the price of inaction. I'm in this race to tell the lobbyists in Washington that their days of setting the agenda are over. They have not funded my campaign. They will not work in my White House.
Just this weekend, the New York Times published a list of names, a rather long list of names, of people who are working on Obama's transition team or who have accepted jobs in his White House, who are either former lobbyists or who have close ties to lobbyists.
4 years ago, I promised to end the war in Iraq. We did. 4 years ago, I promised to end the war in Iraq. I did.
President, do you have any second thoughts about pulling all ground troops out of Iraq?
You know, what I just find interesting is the degree to which this issue keeps on coming up, as if this was my decision.
If only we could put those pre-crime tools to good use and use pre-crime tools for anyone who's going to be running for office, then we wouldn't be getting ourselves in this mess dealing with this liar in chief's debacles. Of course, that would be money well spent, unlike these robots that are going to be taking us out to break while the world is on the brink of economic collapse. For whatever reason, we have sword-wielding robots battling each other with deadly precision. For some reason, I guess that's so they'll be better equipped to kill us all. And then stick around, because I will be talking with Anthony Frieda, who has the only artifact at the 9/11 Museum that actually questions the official narrative.
Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder, backed by FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials. All the toxins from the air, the food, the water, ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. Take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2. Take advantage of this unprecedented 30% off Super Detox Special at InfoWarsLife.com.
With another presidential election season just around the corner, I thought it was time to dust off this oldie but a goodie from the vault. So I was looking around on the web just the other day, my Google algorithm popped this up in the sidebar and I just had to get it. And here it is, the Hillary Clinton Nutcracker. As you can see on the box, it says it has stainless steel thighs and cracks the toughest nuts. Is America ready for this nutcracker, it asks, and you can go to HillaryNutcracker.com to find out more. But it's very interesting. Pulled it out, you can see it's got the stainless steel thighs right there. But there's some excellent quotes on the back, which I'll go ahead and read now. The directions, as President Bush likes to say, you don't have to be a rocket surgeon to use it. You just place the nut between the legs and squeeze, much like Hillary herself has been known to do. Heard on the street, I can feel Bill's pain, says Barack Obama. I guess the battle against the vast right-wing nut conspiracy is still on. That's from Dick Cheney. Why does Hillary get to have all the fun, says Nancy Pelosi. Hillary Nutcracker, that's redundant, from John McCain. I'd be getting nervous if I was one of those nut jobs, Kim Jong-il. I can feel the squeeze from 50 feet away, says Rudy Giuliani, and no comment from Bill Clinton. So there you go, the Hillary Nutcracker. Very interesting piece of Americana, but you know what's different about this one than most others you'll find on the web? This one actually talks, and it sounds a lot like Hillary. Just listen.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
So, Hillary, what do you like to do to terrorists?
Let us bomb these places.
Hillary, what do you think about the disclosures that the Pentagon has been giving tons and tons of heavy armor and weaponry to police departments around the country?
Sometimes military action is necessary.
What are your thoughts on Edward Snowden?
Edward Snowden broke our laws.
But what about all this continued NSA surveillance? Is there anything we could do about that?
I think it would be shocking to most people if the United States stopped gathering information. That's just not the way the real world works.
Well, Hillary, what does your husband Bill think about NSA surveillance?
Wait, you want me to tell you what my husband thinks? So you ask my opinion, I will tell you my opinion. I'm not going to be channeling my husband.
Do you have any jokes?
I will try to preserve my reputation as being, you know, somewhat humorless and jokeless by not trying to tell one.
Now, if you're going to be running for president, you're going to have to campaign in the South. What are you going to be saying to all those people down there below the Mason-Dixon line?
I don't feel no ways tired. I come too far. From where I started from.
All right, now I'm going to get serious. How do you feel about those four Americans that were killed in Benghazi?
What difference at this point does it make?
I thought you would say that. So why do we give those terrorists the heat-seeking missiles?
It's a constant balancing. What do we do? How far do we go?
But isn't arming terrorists bad?
The people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago.
Don't you think that's a bit hypocritical?
This is an inherent contradiction.
Now, Hillary, what about all the civilian deaths with drones? Is there anything we can do about that?
The numbers about potential civilian casualties, I take with a somewhat big grain of salt.
What do you think about Democrats who've been distancing themselves from Jonathan Gruber's remarks when they were praising him in the past?
What difference at this point does it make?
And what was that you said when you heard Colonel Gaddafi had been killed?
We came, we saw, he died.
Do you have anything else to say to the American people before you run for president?
But we came out of the White House not only dead broke, but in debt.
Well, as you can see, the Hillary Nutcracker is certainly full of more than just nuts. She's full of a lot of BS. But those stainless steel thighs are definitely a force to be reckoned with. Yeah, we're definitely going to put this one back in the vault where it belongs. So we hope Hillary doesn't run for president again. But I hope you enjoyed this little presentation of just looking back at some of the amazing things Hillary Clinton has had to say about certain events in the world. This is Rob Dew with InfoWars Nightly News. And if you are watching this on YouTube, please consider becoming a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. You can now share your username and password with up to 20 people. Instead of 11, we've now upgraded it to 20. So be sure you get your membership today.
We are ending the war in Iraq. The president did close Guantanamo.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
From the water table to our soils to the atmosphere itself, our world is becoming more and more toxic each and every day. But it's not just the air outside that's toxic. Indoor air has been shown to have 2 to 5 times higher concentrations of pollutants than even outdoor air. And most Americans spend 90% of their time inside using toxic chemicals within their homes. There are more than 42 million smokers in the United States. Well over 1,000 types of mold and mildew linked to numerous conditions. And don't forget the fact that 6 million Americans live with pets they're allergic to as well. When I began to research these statistics, it was clear to me it was time to start cleansing my lungs in order to combat the toxic environment that we cannot escape, but that we can fight back against. Made with organic and wild cultivated herbs and manufactured in the USA, the new InfoWars Life Lung Cleanse is here in a convenient spray bottle that can be brought with you throughout any toxic environment. Now available exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139.
Another major health threat, this one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system or call 1-888-253-3139.
Today I'm going to be speaking with Anthony Frieda. He is an internationally recognized political artist and illustrator. His work has been featured in Time Magazine, The New Yorker, The New York Times, and now he can add another win to his long list of accomplishments. Frieda's piece, Questions, was recently acquired by the National September 11th Memorial and Museum. His piece is the only artifact in the entire collection there that actually questions the official narrative of 9/11. So, Anthony, welcome back to the show. It's great to have you. So how did you do it? How did you convince the curators of the 9/11 Museum to acquire this artwork when the whole museum is clearly a shrine to the official narrative?
Well, it's great to be here, Leanne, and thank you for the opportunity to explain the story. It's kind of a crazy story. I approached the museum because I just had this idea that the whole thing is a shrine to the official story, and I approached them saying, you can't have a 9/11 museum without the truth movement being represented in some way. I mean, it's millions of people. It's a huge, you know, movement. You can't just ignore, you know, the multitude of issues and evidence and serious people who are questioning the official narrative, and it needs to be represented in some way. So I approached them with an email fully expecting that they would just say thank you, but no thank you, or completely ignore me. And to my shock, but delight, they agreed with me, and they sent me back an email saying we'd like to put your piece into the selection process, and went through a series of internal committees, and it has been acquired to be part of the permanent collection. It will be the first and only piece in the collection that questions the official narrative. So it's kind of a big deal from you know, their perspective and from the Truth Movement's perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we have the video that you provided where you're actually speaking there with the curators of the museum, explaining your piece to us. So how did you go about explaining that to them?
Well, that was kind of surreal. I mean, I'm in a 9/11 museum talking 9/11 truth to people who are, you know, their job is to create this monument to the official narrative. So there's this built-in irony to it and this discrepancy that I still can't figure out. I don't know why they let me in there, but maybe they didn't know who they're dealing with. I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see what they do with it. You know, everybody says they're going to hide it or shelve it. Like, you remember in, you know, Raiders of the Lost Ark, they had a giant warehouse where they put everything. Or they're, you know, put it in a urinal or something. I don't know. But
yeah, that was kind of my question, is where exactly are they going to be displaying this piece so that people can come into the museum? Obviously, you know, some of the family members or some people, I mean, do you think that they're afraid people might be offended by it, or did they seem to agree with the piece, or what was their response?
They thought they were grateful to have it. They said this is a unique acquisition, and they said this is our, they're taking like a tiny, you know, putting a toe in the water into the Truth Movement, because I think they realize that you can't just completely ignore it, act like it's not, you know, a phenomenon. It's a global phenomenon. There's millions of people who are questioning these things. So it's not just some, they can't just, you know, allocate it to some tiny little fringe group. So they did, to their credit, acknowledge that we got to represent it some way. So I think the fact that this piece was published in the Village Voice and it had some sort of, you know, journalistic historical tie-in to the event, that they thought it might be an appropriate way to kind of just test the waters a little bit. So, I mean, I'm trying to get inside their head. I don't know. I asked them straight out, you can have a 9/11 truth section. They said, no, there'll be no truth section. But they're happy to have this piece. So it's all, I didn't really get a straight answer for them exactly how they're going to display it.
Mm-hmm.
To answer your question.
Yeah. And you said in the original letter that you sent to the museum, you said asking questions is a fundamental American tradition that has sadly been on the wane of late, to all of our detriment. You go on to discuss a lot of the false pretexts that brought us into the war and sort of tying that into this piece and basically saying dissent is the highest form of patriotism, especially in a time of universal deceit. And it's the duty of the artist to go where conscience takes him without regard to political correctness. So obviously that's very powerful. Do you think that that kind of you challenging them was something that prompted them to take on this challenge of bringing in a dissenting voice?
I think I might have swayed them because I was obviously passionate about these issues, but at the same time not too snarky or, you know, disrespectful. You know, I understand what position they're coming from. You got a museum, you know, George Bush is on the board of this museum. I mean, this is the official shrine, as we say, to this story. So, and it's the biggest story of this century. So, it needs to have all voices represented, I think, because it's impacted so many lives. And I tried to go about, if you watch the video, Behind Truth Art, it's a film by John Masseria, documenting the process, you'll see that I tried to be respectful and humble. I mean, I'm in their museum. They invited me there. And that was surreal about it, talking about 9/11 truth within the museum and laying out the case, you know, through my artwork, being able to explain it, these things that I learned from friends of mine, like my friend Dan Zollinger introduced me to you guys originally. And, it's been a long journey ever since.
Yeah, and you mentioned Bush being on the board. He's actually featured within questions within the piece, as well as JFK. You talked to the curators there about some of the symbolism within this piece, including the JFK, and then you get into Operation Northwoods. You're basically taking them into the historical, the history of black ops operations there. I mean, that's very surreal. What was their response to the way that you were portraying Bush and others?
Well, it was a great opportunity to talk about these issues, in, you know, in their hallowed halls, and do it in a way, like I say, that was respectful and I hope, you know, convincing to them. But at the end of the day, they did say to me, we love that you know, are expressing these ideas. We don't agree with any of them. but we're happy to have this piece of museum. So they're still hardliners as far as, you know, the 9/11 Commission Report, when you go in that museum, it's on every desk. It's like their Bible. And you feel like you're in this temple to the, you know, to the official story. So, and that's what it is. That's what was constructed to literally etch that into stone. And I actually said to them at one point, you know, before we etch this into stone, let's, the story into stone, let's find out what happened. You know, we don't know what happened. And, so I think I made some inroads into, you know, maybe softening their position a little bit, but it's a very difficult, you know, audience to try to convince. I mean, you know, these people are hardcore establishment people, and they were very nice to me and they were very gracious, but that's a tough nut to crack.
Right, exactly. So they didn't agree with you that there are some unanswered questions. It kind of reminds me of that piece that's right behind you there with the drilling down, drilling down the idea and the official narrative into people. It is very hard to break through that paradigm. And obviously art is a very powerful way to do that and start letting people know it's okay to ask questions about the official story. And your piece is just really powerful. It ties in a lot of those unanswered questions. What do you think about the memorial itself? I know you emailed me some your thoughts on the official design of the, the memorial.
I have a lot of thoughts about that. I just, and I, it wasn't until I actually went there, and you've been there, when you experience it, it's a visceral experience. I mean, it's a very dark monument. And Michael Arad, the, he's an Israeli who designed this, and it was a clever design using the footprint, you know, to turn into these fountains that kind of go into this abyss. But the overall effect that he said he was trying to achieve was one of to show the feelings of loss and absence and death and destruction caused by 9/11. And it's very transparent, and he's very successful in my opinion, in conveying these feelings of death and destruction, because it's a dark monument. Mm-hmm. You stare into that abyss, it doesn't reflect any light, and it seems like just this flow into like a hole into hell or something. I don't know. Right. It's a hole into it. It's a black hole. It's a black hole that everything is flowing into. And it, I mean, in some ways, it reminds me of the giant drain, we're just sucking down liberty and freedom and hope. And it's a very dark mind. And the fact that you're looking down into a hole, into a metaphor for a grave, which I'm sure is what he was thinking. It's a dark monument. And I think sadly, it's a fitting monument to the legacy of 9/11.
Right. It is a very sad. Well, I mean, just being there, it really draws out sad and sort of dark emotions, which you know, when you want to be reflective of what happened there, the tragedy, obviously that is, you know, it is all encompassing. That feeling is definitely, you cannot escape that feeling when you're there at the memorial. But of course, you know, that's also to control people into just having that sadness to not be able to question the official story, because you might disrespect all of these people whose lives were lost. Actually, they have the unidentified human remains are actually there at World Trade Center 1. They're interred at the bottom of the North Tower footprint. So, I mean, that's dark.
I know. It's very dark. But I think what disrespects the families and the victims of this horrible tragedy is not giving them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Answering the questions, you know, from architects and engineers of 9/11 truth, and not answering, Building 7 is not even in the museum. There's nothing about it.
Right.
So, you know, conveniently, we didn't have to talk about that, because it makes no sense that this 50-story building falls perfectly into this footprint from a small fire. It's never happened. The fire was out. Richard Gage explains it. Can't possibly happen according to the laws of physics on planet Earth. You know, those 80 columns that had no resistance and just magically vanish so this thing could fall at free fall speed. You know, we're talking about physics here. You know, you can have all kinds of theories, but you can't argue Newtonian physics on planet Earth. There's only one way they work. And the way they work that day is at odds with Newton. So that museum has a problem with Isaac Newton, okay? And, you know, and like I say, this is the ultimate disrespect to the whole world, to America, to Americans, to the victims, to their families, not telling them the truth, not giving them a satisfactory investigation.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the ultimate disrespect, not questioning this ridiculous report as if it's some, you know, Bible handed down from God. It's not. I mean, they wanted Henry Kissinger to lead that report originally. Remember that?
Oh, goodness.
That was their first choice. So that shows you, you really think it was an effort to get to the truth to put Henry Kissinger, you know, known war criminal and liar, guy who gave us carpet bombing Cambodia and, you know, 3 million dead in Indochina and 60,000 American guys dead for nothing. I mean, this is the guy you put in charge. This is the guy, he comes in as a fixer, you know, he comes in and, you know, cleans up the mess and makes the lies palpable to the masses.
Right, exactly. And, you know, a lot of those people involved definitely want to do that. Now, talk to me a little bit about the documentary.
It's called Behind Truth Art. Yeah. And yes, it's a documentary by John Masseria. And he's going around interviewing a lot of different activists. We've interviewed Gerald Celente and Richard Gage and a lot of other guys in the truth movement and people who are political activists and kind of alt media personalities, and trying to see, you know, get to their personal stories, like what's the sacrifices they've made. You know, anybody who's in 9/11 truth movement has made sacrifices, you know, on a personal level and professional level, because it's an unpopular position to take, and it takes a toll on you emotionally, with your family, with your friends, and professionally, you know. And so it's an interesting story. I don't think it's been adequately told, and I hope this movie, you know, gets to the heart of something that I know John wants to get to the heart of, the real human stories here and the people that make these sacrifices. I mean, when people make sacrifices like the thousands of architects and engineers, you know, you got to listen to these guys. They're not getting paid to do this. As a matter of fact, you know, they're making a great sacrifice and putting their reputation and their career on the line to give you this information. These are very serious people. You have to listen to them. I mean, you have to hear them out. And when you do, you have to be convinced, because they have nothing to gain, everything to lose by giving this information. And they're doing it because, for one reason, they're men of conscience and they're women of conscience, and they're people who are honest people and have the integrity to say, I don't care. Like you said, I don't care where the chips fall, where they may. This is the truth.
Absolutely. I think that's why we had our interview with Rudy Dent, the firefighter that was there, saw World Trade Center 7 come down. That video has already gotten over 500,000 hits. It was so powerful because people were, you know, here is someone just like you say, he's got nothing to gain. He wasn't paid for that interview. He's not selling a book or anything like that. He just wants people to know what he saw. So it's, you know, it's now 13 years later. It's time for people to have the freedom to be able to ask questions unanswered, these unanswered questions that just don't make sense, and to not be ostracized or made to feel like they're being disrespectful to all of those people who lost their lives that day.
That's right. And these questions need to be answered. And there's some great people, brave people doing it. There's 9/11 Truth Movement on Facebook. I think they do a great job. If people want to get information, real factual information about what happened that day, there's architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth. There's so many people out there, you know, and they're just trying to find out what happened. And like you say, that is, to me, the core of, you know, being an independent, free-thinking person is, and as every American has the right to ask these questions. So let's move forward, and let's hope, you know, the other thing that's interesting to me is a lot more people are open to these ideas than they were just 5 years ago. You know, I have people that have seen that video that 5, 10 years ago, they would have said that was nuts. They probably never would have talked to me again. And now they're more open-minded, because now they know, you know, did the government lie to us about Iraq? Did they lie to us about spying on all of us? Yeah, they lied to us about a lot of things. So people are starting to look around, even the most mainstream people, and say, well, yeah, they lied to us about all these serious things, wars and, you know, spying and destroying our civil liberties. And so what else are they lying about?
Right. Yeah, well, thank you, because I know that you were a witness to the events of 9/11. You said that that day changed your life and the focus of your art forever. And so hopefully this piece being in the 9/11 museum will help to break through that whole official narrative, break through the paradigm, and crack open some minds. So thank you so much for joining us here today again, Anthony, and we look forward to speaking with you soon.
Thanks, Leanne. And when people go to the museum, ask to see the piece.
Yes.
And don't let them hide it. Just go there and say, I want to see the Anthony Freeda piece, because this is our little foot in the door to the truth movement and to get the truth out there and expose the lies of 9/11.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Liam.
So absolutely. Demand to see that piece there at the 9/11 Museum. Make sure they don't have it shoved in some dark corner somewhere. Let's put that out in the forefront. Let them know that that's what we're really curious about. That's what we want to see there at the 9/11 Museum. Well, thank you for tuning in to the show tonight. If you're watching us on YouTube, please become a subscriber to the Alex Jones channel and then head over to prisonplanet.tv and become a subscriber. You can now share your username and password with up to 20 people at the same time. That is 20 people getting instant access to over 18 years worth of content. Thank you all so much, and we'll see you here tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life, where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality, freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.